to Discover Health, where we help you take control of your health so you can transform your life. Your host, functional medicine expert, Dr. Trish Murray, is on a mission to help every baby boomer age with dignity and grace.
This episode of the Discover Health Podcast is sponsored by Advanced Naturopathic Medical Center.
So hello, everyone, and welcome to Discover Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Trish Murray, physician, best-selling author, and health catalyst speaker. And I am so excited to have Dr. Melina Roberts today, who is a naturopathic doctor, in talking about biological medicine and cancer. Hello, Dr. Roberts. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's awesome to have you on. So what we're going to do, Melina or Dr. Roberts, is I'm going to read your bio, and then we'll get right into the questions. So folks, here's Dr. Roberts' background. So Dr. Melina Roberts is a naturopathic doctor, author of Building a Healthy Child, and founder, clinic director of Advanced Naturopathic Medical Center in Calgary, Canada. She is recognized as one of the top biological medicine practitioners in North America and is a lecturer for the Paracelsus Academy and Biomed International. She is a leading authority in the field of naturopathic medicine, specializing in biological medicine, effectively treating digestive issues, chronic disease, and cancer. Dr. Roberts is a graduate of the University of Waterloo and the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. She did a 2-year postgraduate study in biological medicine with Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland. Wow, that's pretty impressive background, Dr. Roberts.
Thank you.
So tell us, one of the first questions I always ask all of my guests is, how did you come to practice medicine the way you are now, or to be of service to people the way you are now?
Yeah, so I think it goes back to going back to my childhood of being a kid who had really bad allergies and eczema, and I would break out in rashes to everything, and I would itch my skin until it would bleed, you know, and I kind of thought that that was just the way life was, and it was something that I would just have to learn to live with. And when I was about 13, a family friend said to my parents, you know, you should try taking her to see a naturopathic doctor. And at that point in time, you know, it was way back and we had no idea what naturopathic medicine was and if it could ever help me. But we went in pretty open-minded and I went and saw this doctor. And really within a short period of time, all of my allergies and eczema all cleared up. So it really gave me my initial insights into realizing that the body had that ability to heal itself. So then I kind of fast forward a bit, I decided to go into naturopathic medicine so that I could have that kind of similar effect on people's lives as that naturopathic doctor had on my life. And as I was going through school, my dad was diagnosed with cancer in my second year at the naturopathic college. And I started doing a ton of research into natural therapies to treating cancer. Unfortunately, I didn't know enough at that time. It was just, I was just a second year student and I just didn't know enough. And unfortunately, my dad passed away 9 months later. But that definitely, that starting of research into it and seeing that there actually was some viable options in terms of cancer therapies that were published in scientific journals and that weren't being utilized, and that there was clinics around the world that were treating cancer successfully. That's what, after I graduated, that's what I just started researching. And actually one of the clinics I first joined when I finished at the naturopathic college was I joined a clinic that I heard that they were having great success with treating cancer. And it actually happened to be a biological medicine clinic. Mm. And The doctor who I was working with there, he had done his training with a doctor named Dr. Thomas Rau in Switzerland. And so I was like, okay, well, I need to go do this training too. And so I did the training with the Peristalsis Clinic in Switzerland and learned all about biological medicine. And that kind of set the direction in terms of how I treat today.
Well, that's an amazing story, you know, and if every time I ask that question, it's my favorite question
because
it personalizes each of us as practitioners and helps everyone understand why we're passionate about what we do.
Yeah.
And that's why people want to come see us because we get it.
Yes, exactly. Because we've been there.
Exactly. Yeah. And live the pains and the benefits of all
yes,
of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, Melina, get into biological medicine and help people understand. What exactly is biological medicine?
So, you know, it has it's not that, you know, I would say it's not super different from naturopathic medicine or functional medicine, but it is just a different approach in terms of it's a European, originated in Europe in terms of a natural therapy approach to treating all different kinds of health issues. And, you know, the roots of it are very similar to naturopathic medicine and functional medicine in that it's based on the understanding that the body has the ability to be able to heal itself. But where it differs is in that it really focuses on two main things, which are terrain and the body's ability to self-regulate and the adaptability of the body. So I hadn't really even heard, going through the naturopathic college, I'd never even heard of the concept of terrain. But the terrain, you know, is the area that the cells live in. And in order for our cells to be healthy, they need a healthy environment to live in. And the analogy I love to use is that, you know, if you have a plant and that plant is unhealthy, you don't manipulate anything about the plant. You change the soil that that plant is in. And if you change that soil to a healthy soil, then that plant will grow and be healthy. So that is definitely one of the major concepts in terms of terrain. And then the second concept is the idea of adaptability and self-regulation mechanisms. And every cell, every system, every organ in our body has this self-regulating mechanisms. And the analogy I like to use, because it's so hard to explain self-regulation, but the analogy I like to use is the one of that if your body is in a hot environment, then we will sweat. That's how our body is regulating itself. And if our body is in a cold environment, then we shiver. And so this is how our body just always is adapting and changing to changes in its environment. And all of our cells need to be able to do this. And so this is the concept of self-regulation. And if our body can self-regulate well, then our body is healthy. But what can happen is that we can have these different stressors on our body. And I call it six stressors. So it can be food sensitivities, immune challenges, heavy metals, environmental toxins, everything emotional, everything physical. So those stressors can affect how the body is self-regulating. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to identify those stressors, remove those stressors, help the body to self-regulate, and then improve the function of the organ systems that have been affected from those stressors. So that's, you know, those are kind of the essence of how biological medicine works. It's terrain and self-regulation.
And as you say, it's not so different from functional medicine
No.
or naturopathic Yeah. medicine. The idea that, of course, in any of our worlds, what we're trying to help people understand is the concept of epigenetics and
Yes.
the idea
Yeah.
that your environment, your terrain,
Yeah.
Your what you're living in as far as exactly stress and food and
Yeah.
medications and toxins and all of these things create your terrain, create your world.
Yeah.
And the cells, the world and the terrain in which your cells live. And if that's toxic and high inflammation and immune system dysfunction or adrenal dysfunction or whatever concept we're going to talk about, then the cells are not going to function optimally.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're not going to self-regulate optimally.
Exactly.
So it's interesting, just the different systemic discussion or language that's used, but yet the concepts are similar.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So now you focus a lot with folks, as you brought up, with your experiences and with your focus on cancer. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So help us, how do you view cancer?
So I view cancer, I think that, in terms of the conventional system really views cancer as like that final product in terms of like tumors, right? So that solid mass. But in terms of cancer, there is a process within the body that has to happen in order for those cancer cells to be able to grow. And so what we're really looking at is we're looking at that process in the body that allowed that tumor to be able to grow. So no matter which approach people choose in terms of treating that tumor, you have to change that process that allowed that cancer cell to grow. And I describe it as like three main things in that process that would allow those cancer cells to grow. And one of them is that terrain, that terrain needs to be, it has to be in a more, it'll be in a more acidic environment. It would be in a more inflammatory environment in order for those cancer cells to be able to grow. Our immune system would have to be depleted in order for those cancer cells to grow. And the other one is that the organs of detoxification, so the organs that move toxic loads out of the body, would not be functioning optimally. So that means that toxic loads would actually be staying within our body. So that also ends up being the three things that we really focus on in terms of all cancer care. We're working on changing that terrain. We're working on improving that immune system. And then we're also working on improving detoxification pathways. So ensuring that those detoxification pathways are open and able to effectively move toxic loads out.
So in the one thing I've been more intrigued, I would never say that up until now in my career, I've been a cancer specialist. I'm not. Yeah. I'm more into autoimmune and pain and more emotional things as anxiety and things like that is my fortes. But I've taken a much more interest in cancer lately and been doing a lot more reading on it. And the one question I have for you today or to anyone I'd be talking about that does focus on, either biological, functional, naturopathic medicine and cancer or natural ways to treat cancer would be, okay, for example, I had a patient come in today. And she has been diagnosed now with not one, not two, but three in the right breast and one in the left breast of masses. And so now she's faced with decisions of what traditional medicine is presenting her with and what natural medicine she would rather follow. Yeah. So, okay, someone comes in and they have a mass, like you say, a tumor.
Yeah.
In your world do you recommend to the folks to do with that mass as it is right now? Like another patient of mine has a rectal mass.
Yeah.
Should it be removed and then deal with things from the biological or functional or whatever terminology we want to use? Or do you treat it from a natural perspective and the immune system can still eradicate that mass? Do you see my
I see your question. And they end up being really tough questions. And what I do with my patients is I just present them with options. And I explain as much as I can in terms of like what we can offer and what their options are. Because I find that I think that people just get really scared. And they get scared into their decision making. And I don't think that we should be making decisions out of fear. we should be making decisions from a knowledgeable place. So, you know, listening to something, a podcast like this, before you have to make those decisions can be very helpful. Because I think that, you know, if someone hasn't even thought of what to do prior to, then it makes that decision really challenging. But I have patients who really are on kind of all spectrums. So, you know, I have patients who decide to get the mass surgically removed. And then what we do is we support their systems through the surgery. We do different IV therapies and different nutritionals. We're healing the gut. And no matter what we're doing, we're always working on changing up that process that allowed those cancer cells to grow. Then I also have patients who don't want to go with the conventional route, and they want to completely do it alternative, like alternative medicine is what it can be called, right? Or, right. But they, you know, they wanted to go completely with our approach. And then we do like an intensive plan. And so we will be, you know, primarily working on that process that allowed those cancer cells to grow. But then we also have different therapies like local hypothermia. And so the local hypothermia is like a deep heat therapy that helps to break down those tumor cells. So, but again, even when you're no matter which way you use to break down those tumor cells, whether you use chemo or radiation or you use local hypothermia, you have to make sure the organs of detoxification are open and able to effectively move toxic loads out. If you're not doing that kind of support, people are just going to get sicker. So, and then we actually see, okay, yes, we've removed some tumor, but you haven't healed up the gut. We haven't improved immune system. We haven't improved organs of detoxification. If we haven't done all of those groundworks, then that's where you see that people get tumors removed, but then they're not, then, you know, years down the line, they have some sort of recurrence and of a tumor typically elsewhere in the body, but that's because you haven't changed that process in the body.
Oh, so true. I mean, someone will come in, for example, whatever their chronic disease might be, and you know, you recommend an elimination diet or a cleanse, but sometimes they're not healthy enough for that yet.
Yeah,
and so they
exactly.
have to take some supplements, change their diet. For example, in my world, I recommend what's called, what I call the rainbow diet as
okay,
a foundational diet, and it starts to get phytonutrients into people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heal the gut without necessarily going into a full elimination or detox.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
when their health is improving and they're feeling better and their energy's better, and then we even have a questionnaire, of course, that they can score. And when their score is less than 100, then they could consider doing a full detox. So I think it's on the same roll as what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, exactly. And when I say detox, I know that's sort of a broad term that we use, but because sometimes it's just gently trying to get that liver to work a lot better. That you don't want to be doing, like, we're not doing like aggressive cleanses if someone is coming in with a cancer diagnosis. Yeah, their system is typically not strong enough. We just got to get, you know, proper nutrients in and healing the gut and balancing out that microbiome.
Right. Yeah. So what kinds of testing do you do then? So a cancer patient comes into you and they're looking for some help with natural, integrative, alternative, whatever word people want to use.
Yeah.
And they're looking for your approach. How would your workup be different than the traditional model or other models?
So I will actually typically call my testing some functional testing and set as well, but it's a little bit different in that we're not sending anything away. We do a lot of in-house testing. So one of the tests that we do is something called dark field microscopy. So it's a prick of the fingertip and we look at live blood cells underneath the microscope. And we're actually looking at the body's internal terrain. So we're looking and seeing, are those cells all stuck together or are they nicely spaced out? We see how well they're absorbing the nutrients from the foods they're eating. We see if they're showing signs of that leaky gut picture where we're seeing some food particles showing up in the bloodstream. We get to look at the white blood cells. So we get an idea of what's going on with your immune system. So not just a quantitative test, which people would get in terms of getting their blood work done, but we actually get to look at the quality of their blood cells. So how active and how robust are those white blood cells? So this gives me a lot of information about that terrain. So that's one test that we run. Another test that we run is called a whole body thermography. And so it's a full body scan of the head, including the teeth, the neck, the breast, the abdomen, which will include all your vital organs, and back, which will include kidneys. And we go over 119 points with a really sensitive temperature gauge on all of those 119 points. And then what we do is we give the body a stress, and that stress is simply all of those points being exposed to a certain temperature for 10 minutes. And then we recheck those points. And what should happen is that all of those points should be able to regulate themselves. And if they can regulate themselves, then those tissues can heal themselves. And if they can't regulate themselves, then we know that there's a blockage in that system. And then we know that we need to focus our attention on that system of the body. So that helps to give me an overall idea of the organ system and the regulation of all the different organs in the body. And then the other test that we run in the clinic is something called heart rate variability. And heart rate variability, what it's doing is it's assessing the autonomic nervous system. So that's that part of your nervous system that runs in the background. We don't consciously control it. So there's two parts to that nervous system. There's your stress state. So there's your run away from a tiger part of your nervous system. And the other part of that nervous system is your rest, digest, and repair. So we get to see how stressed is a person, how well can their body heal itself, and how are they in relationship to each other. Because another challenge can be is that if a person's too high in a stress state, then a person can't properly heal themselves. And sometimes these can be the challenges of why people aren't properly healing. So this is really looking at, you know, that terrain, and then we're looking at that regulatory part of the system. So those are some of the main tests that we run. We might run some further testing that you'd be more familiar with in terms of that functional medicine, but that's definitely our starting point to seeing what's going on in terms of the systems.
That's really interesting to hear these different modalities used, particularly in the cancer oncology world, because of course, thermography, I have someone come to my office quarterly and do breast screening for people looking for concerns of course, VASC, because of course, thermography can possibly show concerns for a tumor earlier than even mammography can in the breast world. So I've used it, you know, for diagnostic or screening, I should say.
We have to be careful with the word diagnostic.
Screening, because the only way to really diagnose tissue is to get the tissue and to look
at
the
exactly.
pathology by a pathologist. But also heart rate variability, we use in my world with folks with anxiety or adrenal dysfunction or things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And then looking at the cells themselves, that's very intriguing to see the white blood cells and the different cells in the microscopy you were referring to. So that's So it's giving you sort of a general assessment of the person's body and cell functions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So. And thermography, just help people understand thermography. Just talk a little bit about what thermography is truly doing for folks. Meaning how that image, it's looking at the heat of the body and it's an imaging, kind of go into that so they understand what that is.
Yeah. So we're looking at, with that really sensitive temperature gauge, it penetrates a little bit deeper than skin level to get that idea of temperature. Because what I'm doing is a regulated thermography, which probably is a little bit different than the one you bring into your office, which I think I assume is the one that takes a picture, which still has some value, lots of value in it for sure. But we're doing like a whole body scan, and the it's really based on those dermatones. So dermatones are nerves that will go through organs, and then they also have a root that will go through the skin. And through that, through those dermatomes and that skin layer, we're able to get an idea just from that, from how the skin is regulating, how the organ internally is regulating through those dermatome layers. So we get that feedback loop of with when we give that body a stress, is that even at that skin layer, is that temperature able to regulate itself, or is there a blockage, or is it not regulating the way it should be? So from that regulation, we're actually able to get a picture of, are there different basically hot spots in the body, or is there some dysregulation happening? So it just, yeah, it gives us so much information about what's going on without having to be invasive.
Yeah, there's the concept of what's called that viscerosomatic reflex.
Yes. Yeah.
Our organs are sending sensory messages to the brain on a regular basis. And actually, the sensory messaging from many organs to the brain is higher or more. There's more nerves sending that sensory message to the brain than there are going from the brain to the organ, actually. But then it does spill over into our soma, meaning into the body and the skin and things like that.
Yeah.
So then it spills over into the skin, which is what you're looking at with the thermography, is what
yes,
you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting. All right. So with these different tests, then that helps you determine what exactly summary do you get from these tests for the patient to understand their process?
Yeah, so what's cool with these tests is that because they're in-house, we can actually get those results right away. So I, with those, that dark field, you know, the dark field microscopy, as I'm looking at it, I have it up on a big screen, and the patient gets to see what their blood looks like right away. And so I can go through those results with them as soon as they do the test. And that's the same with the thermography. I get the test within minutes of completing the test, and I can go through those results, and we can figure out. And then what I do is, based on the results of all of those tests, and then plus what the information we gather from their initial consult, and typically they're already coming in with a diagnosis, and they've already gone through a bunch of blood work and a bunch of diagnostic tests that they'll bring in to me. So, you know, I put all of that information together, and then from there we can come up with a plan. And a lot of people are wanting to do like the intensive, my intensive cancer program. And that can really ranges, you know, my primary thing that I always work on is changing up the diet, cleaning up the diet. To me, that is the basics, right? They have to be cleaning up the diet. You know, I've had patients who are like, oh, well, can I just do all the treatments? And like the diet is too hard. And I actually won't take them on as a patient because we won't get the results, you know, that I want to be getting if they don't change the diet. So that's foundational. And then from there, I'm doing, I'll put together a treatment plan in terms of supplements, right? Which could include nutritionals and botanicals and drainage remedies, just depending on what their needs are. And then we also have some other like more intensive therapies, which you guys may offer as well, in terms of like high dose vitamin C IVs, chelation IVs, if we need to. We do ozone therapy and UBI therapy. We have the local hypothermia. We have some like a whole body hyperthermia as well. So we basically put people into a we put people into basically a fever state. And in that fever state, it helps to, we know that cancer cells don't like heat. And so it helps your body and it activates your whole immune system so that your body will start to fight off anything that shouldn't be there, like cancer cells. We have the local hypothermia in our clinic. So we have lots of different tools in our toolkit.
So you can either put someone into a whole hyperthermia, going to, like you say, inducing a fever state in like a sauna or something.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what it's like?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's like. And we just have a rectal thermometer that, and then we just are monitoring their temperature. So we keep them in there until they reach that temperature. And then we try to hold them at that fever state for a period of time. And then usually about, 30 to 60 minutes, or as long as people can tolerate, because it is quite uncomfortable. And then, and we're just monitoring them throughout, and then they're all done. But
yeah. And how does the
local hypothermia, it's sort of like a little wand sort of thing, like an ultrasound kind of wand that we'll use, and we'll and it just penetrates between two electrodes. So there's a back pad electrode and then this little wand, and the frequency and that heat will go quite deep. So it'll go between those two electrodes. And it's something that we have to have like someone doing. It's not that they're sitting in a machine. We actually have a technician who will run that therapy. And but we're able to go over those solid masses and help to break down those solid masses.
And you mentioned I heard UBI.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's ultraviolet blood irradiation. Okay. And so what we're doing is we actually take out some blood, we mix it in with some saline, and then we give all of that blood back to a patient. But before we give it back to them, it runs under some UV lights. And what it's doing under, what the UV lights are helping to do is it's an oxygen therapy. So it helps to oxygenate the blood. Cancer cells don't like oxygen. So it helps to oxygenate the system, helps to kill off, the UV lights help to kill off anything that shouldn't be there. And it helps to improve circulation overall. So that's what the UBI is helping to do. And we typically will pair the UBI with an ozone therapy. So again, we will take some blood out, mix it with some saline, we'll add some ozone to the bag, and then we'll put that through the patient. So we call it a UBI ozone IV in our clinic, yeah.
You know, with my reading lately around tumors, cancer, and how they produce and what's going on, they talk a lot in most of the theories I've been noticing about, it's almost like cancers will grow when there's no oxygen and when it's more, it becomes like a fermenting antioxidant environment. So, and then also a big thing that I keep reading and reading about is digestive enzymes. And the idea that digestive enzymes also help to, I guess, optimize oxygenation, optimize nutrient utilization and absorption. So the idea of terrain and making sure we have the main points of life, oxygen and nutrients, would that be correct?
But there's also, so for sure in terms of digestion, those enzymes are helpful, but there's also something called proteolytic enzymes. And proteolytic enzymes, if you take them with meals, they help to break down the foods you're eating. But if you actually take them away from meals, they actually help to break down inflammatory factors, including cancer cells. So high doses of proteolytic enzymes away from food can actually be very beneficial. And there's a lot of clinics out there that just do the proteolytic enzymes. They do some diet changes, and then they do the high amounts of proteolytic enzymes. And I will, that's another therapy that I will use with my patients. So I like to kind of stack a whole bunch of therapies together for best results.
So how are the proteolytic enzymes different from a typical digestive enzyme? Are they specifically focusing on protein enzymes?
So they're just like highly concentrated digestive enzymes.
Okay.
So if you took it with your food, they would just, they'd kind of just be an expensive digestive enzyme because they're so highly concentrated.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And then how about, you know, with this concept, you know, sometimes with digestive enzymes, you would include HCl, which obviously hydrochloric acid, where, you know, and betaine, where you're increasing stomach acid along to break down the proteins.
Yeah.
So is that part of this or that's
different? No, you wouldn't have to. Yeah, because you're not trying to improve the digestive process. You're trying to actually get to more of a systemic level where you're breaking down more of those inflammatory factors.
And of course, you're taking these on an empty stomach away from food.
So you exactly, away from food. So you don't want it to
increase.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. That would make sense. All right. Yeah. So what does the process look like for someone coming to see you, and length of time, and how the process works in the different treatment modalities?
Typically a lot of patients will come for an extended period of time. So they will come for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And really we're just trying to kickstart their system in the right direction. And so they will start off, you know, with that, the initial testing and the initial consult where we will map out their plan for them. And then, and you know, if they're coming for that chunk of time, then we have them coming in daily for treatments. And usually it's daily treatments and they're getting treatments all day long. So with different IVs and the local hypothermia and the whole body hypothermia, the whole body, hypothermia. And then we have some other modalities like pulsed electromagnetic fields. So we run those. And then we also do mistletoe injections. So there's, lots going on.
Yeah. Speak a moment about pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. What are they and how do they apply in the oncology world?
Yeah, so I think like everyone can benefit from pulsed electromagnetic fields. I think like they're part of our earth. Like these pulsed electromagnetic fields are naturally part of the earth, in that we would actually naturally get them if we were more connected with the earth on a regular basis. But, you know, in our Western world, we rarely actually get good connection with the earth. And so the concept behind it is that all of our cells are like capacitors. So they hold energy. And over time, what happens is that they start to decrease the amount of energy in those cells. And so the voltage in those cells starts to decrease. And as that voltage decreases, that's when we start to see a disease and pathology and cancer. And what the pulsed electromagnetic fields help to do is it helps to charge those cells and increase the voltage in all of the cells in the body, which will increase the health of every cell in our body. So the analogy I like to use for describing that is that your cell phone also holds a charge. And over time, your cell phone will lose its charge. And what you have to do is you need to plug in that cell phone and start charging that cell phone in order for that cell phone to now start working. And that's what we need to do with all of our cells in our body, is that we need to increase that charge.
And in the pulsed electromagnetic field, PEMF, people can buy, these mats that you lay on and have them at home.
Yeah, so for sure.
What frequency, what hertz would you say is the range that you use best?
So I'm not, yes, out there. I know. So I don't really know exactly what those, I don't know the exact numbers of the hertz, to tell you the truth, off the top of my head. But I know that there's the low frequency ones, and I think that they would be, you know, they're for sure beneficial for people to be doing on a daily basis who don't necessarily have anything chronic going on, or if, you know, if we have some time. The challenge with a lot of cancer patients is that we don't have the luxury of time, right? We have to start changing their system as quickly as possible. And that's why, you know, the one I have in my clinic is a high voltage one. And so we get people on there and we just try to charge their system so much quicker than, you know, the mat will over time, you'll start to get that charge, but this one will start charging the system just quicker. So it's just a matter of time, right? So I'd say that they're both effective. It's just, you know, we'll get results faster with one over the other.
So do people come to see you from all over and they come for a set amount of time and then maybe they go home and then maybe they come back? What does it look like?
Yeah. So, in a lot of cases, people are coming from all over, but yeah, and they're coming for kind of that two or three weeks, and then they might come back, depending on how sick they are, they might come back 6 months later, or they might come back like a year later. It depends on what kind of care they're getting when they're at home, right? If they are coming from right. Sometimes people are just coming from small towns and they just don't have access to all these different therapies. But sometimes, like I'm saying, like if you can get, you know, if they can in their hometown, if they can find someone to just do like high dose vitamin C IVs to help maintain them through, those can be beneficial. So we have those. And then we do have some local people that we treat here in Calgary too.
Right, of course. So what types of results are you getting? Because of course, that's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
You can talk about all these wonderful therapies, but the idea is, do they work? And what results do you see with these?
Yeah. And so like, I think I get to sit in from a very nice vantage point and probably don't see the typical people that people see in oncology, because I get to see the patients who are really self-motivated in order to make those changes. And they are willing to do the work and be really proactive in their health. So I get to see some really amazing results. And I also think that, the people who do the best are the ones who truly believe in what they're doing. I wouldn't say it's necessarily the people who completely do, intensive alternative therapies, or the people who do, you know, part conventional therapy and part alternative medicine, because I see success in both. So like, I am not, you know, I think it has to be like whatever you believe is going to work the best for you. And then let's go in and let's do this at 100%. So, and that's who I find sometimes, you know, if it's just like a family member who says, oh, you know, I think you should go to this clinic, it has to be the person who has done the research and knows that this is the right thing for them. Those are the ones who I get the best success rates with. And so I think that I kind of sit at a lucky point in that I get to see awesome success stories.
And I couldn't underscore what you just said anymore, in the idea that no matter what someone's chronic problem is, whether it's oncology and cancer, or whether it's pain, or whether it's emotional things, whatever, autoimmune disease, if someone believes in the therapy, if someone is, again, self-motivated and wholeheartedly into the treatment and they believe it's going to work, then we can, you know, you can call that the idea that it's just the mind. But folks, mind over body is so important. And all the cells of the body is the community, and they're going to come along with the belief. So talking about the terrain and the self-regulation, it all starts with our consciousness. It all starts with our being. It all starts with our beliefs. So if you believe in it, then it's probably going to work for the most part. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I will work with my patients from like, cause I believe in that mental emotional piece too. And I work with my patients in terms of like doing visualizations and making sure that they visualize themselves as healing and seeing their body as strong and healthy and saying mantras in terms of saying, you know, my body has everything it needs in order to heal. So that, you know, like we really get them into a good healing phase, because I think that, yeah, it's, that we're not just working with a physical body here. There is that mental emotional piece too. And I strongly believe that that's a huge part of the healing process.
Absolutely. So this has been awesome, Dr. Roberts. How do people get in touch with you? How do they find you and look into
it? Yeah, so the best way to reach me or to see what we do is our website, which is advancednaturopathic.com. And one of the places I hang out the most in terms of social media would be my Instagram page, which is Dr. Melina Roberts is my handle. So yeah, I'd say those are the two best places to find me.
So, Melina, one of the last questions I always love to ask each of my guests as well to end with is, if you had to pick one thing, what would you say is the number one secret to living a healthy life?
So I'm a strong believer in that it all comes down to gut health, and that if we improve our gut health, that we would all be healthier people. So that's everything from cleaning up the foods we're eating, balancing out that microbiome, healing up the lining of our digestive tract. And I think that health starts in the gut, and no matter what health issue you have, you've got to work on making sure that your gut health is number one.
Awesome. So thank you so much. This has been Biological Medicine and Cancer with Dr. Melina Roberts. Melina, thank you so much for coming on. This has been amazing. We'll have to have you come back on another time. We'll have to talk about, let's say, one or two of these different therapies in more detail, because this, you know, people need to know. I don't think enough people out there know about these options as natural treatments for cancer. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This has been great. Thanks.
It's awesome.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the episode and the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, visit us on our website, discoverhealthfmc.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us again next time so you can truly live and play as long as you want.